this series, Winning the War in Your Mind. This is part one. It's going to be four parts, and we're gonna build week upon week because there's a lot. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot going on in your mind these days. In 2024, the top three, like, mental health battles were on anxiety and stress management, right? 72% of adults age 20 to 50 reported experience heightened stress levels, with many citing job insecurity and inflation as primary stressors. Can anybody say you're a part of that 72%? You're like, yeah, that's me. I was worried about inflation and jobs and the economy, political tensions, all that junk, right? There was another one that ranked number two. It was social isolation and loneliness. Like, you see that one, you're like, oh, well, we got an app for everything. We've got a community for everything. So you can always be socially connected. But it's saying 68% of individuals from 25 to 45 report feeling socially disconnected, right? One of the ways that we battle that around here at Innovation is not just like, hey, download the app. Like, that's not the solution. We actually get together in groups, and as soon as you walk out today, like, you'll walk out, and right to the left there's a wall. And it used to have all the different serve opportunities, and so we're hiding that and moving that to a different spot for you. But right there, instead of those opportunities there, you can sign up to be a part of a Connect group. Miss Karen's going to be out there. She's going to tell you all about. There's 10 different ones. There's some that are happening in the mornings, some in the afternoon, some that are only for 55 plus, like, some that are just men only. There's a men only group that's going to happen. There's a women only group. Like, there's all types of groups that are taking place. 10 of them to be exact. Now, first service signed up for a bunch, and I think last year it was like 3 weeks, and they were full. And so you better sign up. Don't think about it. Like sign up and then make your schedule fit it. Not the other way around. Well, I'm just not sure if I can. Well, tell them that you're going to have to do Pilates on a different night because you got some more important things to do. So social isolation and loneliness, there's literally 10 groups that are trying to help change that. Number three was burnout and work-life balance. Like, burnout continues to rise. It's still at number three, but it plagues professionals, especially with all this remote work. Like, you can take work home or you can work from home. Like, it never leaves you. Like, you end up sitting in bed at night with a laptop. Anybody? You end up there and, like, kick that out of there. That's not the room that's meant for that. So surveys show that 65% of work-aged 30 to 50 feel emotionally drained, with significant numbers seeking career changes just to get out of that blood-sucking job, to reclaim a sense of balance of purpose and life. And so if you can learn that the bedroom's not an office, that'll help with that. But this is not only affecting us in those different age brackets. This is going after our kids. And I don't know about you. I mean, I've forgotten a lot as I've gotten older, but I don't even remember knowing what the word anxiety was when I was a kid, or the word stress, or even mental health. But academic pressures have increased, performance anxiety. 67% of students in a study in 2024, age 10 to 18, are feeling stressed out because of standardized testing. Because of college preparation that they have to start doing as a freshman now and choose the track that they're going to be on. It gets ridiculous, and the pressure is definitely there. Social comparison, right? Like, it used to be just that you'd, like, see somebody else's kicks in school and you'd be like, oh, those are nice. Now you get advertisements and commercials and social media feeds, and then there's social bullying on top of that. Like, it is ridiculous. And then the emotional regulation. 54% of kids aged 12 to 18 report difficulty managing emotions. I don't know about you. I probably had problems managing my emotions as a kid as well as an adult. But what I found that most of those things start in the head. Like, there's a person, I have some quotes by Marcus Aurelius. I don't know if you've heard of him. He says, "You have the power over your mind." Okay, you're the ones that have the power over your mind, okay? "Not outside events." You really don't. I have no power over anybody sneezing in here this morning. You're like, don't sneeze, don't sneeze, right? I have no power over a baby crying in here this morning. I have no power over what our government's going to do this morning or what they're not going to do. So many of us can stress out about that. So many of us can worry about that. So many of us can be mad at Susie over the price of gas down at Murphy, USA. She can't control that either. But we can control what's in our mind. You have the power over your mind, not outside events, he says. Realize this and you will find strength. He also said the happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. It was Henry Ford who said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. Your mind is a powerful thing. When you fill it with positive thoughts, your life will start to change. If you listen to Rise 97.7 FM, the number one Christian hip-hop station in all of Indiana, we run that, by the way. Lecrae says in a song, Misconception, he says, I can't let my thoughts get the best of me, right? But many times they do. Many times that's what wakes us up, sometimes too early, sometimes too late, and our immediate thought gets the best of the rest of our entire day. Andy Mineo said, I just want to think different. I just want to live different. And that's why Tripp Lee said, I got a new mind. I got to think a new way. Well, as we start off this series, we're talking through these exact things. What's going on up in our head? What's going on in our mind? We're also jumping into helping parents deal with teenagers that are walking through these same battles. Actually, on the 22nd, on January 22nd at En Fuego, we have junior high and senior high students. They meet here on Wednesday nights because they can't fit anywhere else on a Sunday or any other time. And so Wednesday nights, they get to take over the whole building. But on January 22nd, I'm going to be here with the parents, and we're going to be going through a guide that says how to talk about mental health with your teen. You're going to get resources, you're going to get printouts, but we're going to walk through and we're going to learn from each other because I don't know all this. The video that we'll be watching doesn't know all of it, but we're going to help one another. And so, but as we start this series today, there's this phrase I want you to know. And it's that most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. Right, that little space right between the ears, like everything that's going on. Most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. See, Sarah knows that. See, Sarah felt stuck. Every morning she would wake up feeling overwhelmed by the day, the tasks that were ahead, the pressures of work, and the responsibilities that were at home. She constantly battled negative thoughts, doubting her ability to juggle everything, telling herself that she's not good enough, that she was going to fail. One day, Sarah sat down for a quiet moment and realized something important. The way she viewed her challenges was determining how she approached them. Her inner dialogue was the starting point for every battle that she fought that day. The stress and the doubt in her mind were the very things that drained her even before her day began. But then she heard of this. This is actually a book, Winning the War in Your Mind, is a book by an author by the name of Craig Rochelle. I love to read to books. I love to listen to books as I drive. I love to mow to books, trim hedges to books, make pancakes to books. I love to take in knowledge and grow in knowledge. And when I heard about this book, I jumped onto it and I said, you know what? I want to help others. I want to get this message out. I want to let people know more about it. But this is more of my version of the book. And so if you want to jump into that, there's some of these great points that I'll tell you today, and he's got plenty more of his own. But she had heard this same phrase of most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. The words lingered with her, and Sarah realized her mind was the battlefield. And it was up to her to win the war. It was up to her to take control of the thoughts that she allowed to grow. Right? Those began to replace the self-doubt with what God says about her. The next day, when she was faced with the daunting task of saying, instead of saying, I can't do this, she said, I can handle this. I've done hard things before, and God has always helped me. He's always been with me, and while it didn't always go the way I had planned, he kept me safe. I'm still here today because of his plans. If I'm not dead, then he's not done. By changing the way she thought, she began to change the way that she lived. Right? That reminds me of David, right? He was the one that was watching the sheep. That was his job. Watch the sheep. Be the pooper scooper, right? Like, he had to get them out of the crap that they were eating into the new grass and move them from field to field. That was his job. And then here comes a bear to take out one of the sheep, and he has to stand up and fight against the bear. Then later on, here comes a lion. And he was able to take them both out. By the wisdom, by the practice of the slingshot, he was able to kill them. And so when faced with the giant, he was able to stand up to that giant. He knew that God had already been with him. God had already kept him safe. And so when it was time to do it again, he knew he could stand up against a giant and see God move. But where are you at in that story? Is your, maybe your name's Sarah, and that it's really easy to put yourself in that story. Or maybe your name's David. But most of life's battles, do we realize that they're lost or won in our minds? See, 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. He said, for though we live in the world, right? We live in the world. Just in case you didn't know, you're not in the matrix. You're in the world today. But it says we don't wage war as the world does. Right? It's not our job to fight. We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to pray for those that curse us. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Where's that come out? It comes out of the Bible. But it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. That's in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. But it goes on. Like, Paul keeps talking as he normally did. And he talks about our weapon of choice being God's word, that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's where we know. People are always like, I wonder what God's will is for my life. I'm like, well, his word lets you know what his will is. And so if we could get into that, that's how we set them up. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And you're like, oh, well, Pastor Billy, you're just saying there's a verse for it. How does that actually work? Well, in my own life, right? Here I am, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, right? Hormones, like all that good stuff, right, that your kids are walking through, right? And I had plenty of influences in my life. Plenty of good influences, but there was also plenty of bad things that snuck in, right? Magazines that you find at friends' houses and things that you look at, things that you see, things that you get addicted to, and things that you feed. And God says he wants to deal with it. God says, you know what? That's not the plans I have for you, Billy. You're not supposed to be looking lustfully at women. And Jesus actually said to think about those things, to have lust in your heart. Is this as if you're actually committing adultery? I know some of you just got wiped out in here this morning. But that was going on up in my house, up in my head, thinking lustful thoughts. And you're like, well, how could a verse change that? Well, it was a verse in 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I would regularly write it down on my hand, especially when I was struggling. I'd put it on post-it notes in places that I could see it, places that I would want to look elsewhere. If you've got a problem, that's one of the best ways to do it, to put God's word visibly, especially where you have that problem with. You got a problem with scrolling through and looking at way too many provocative pictures on your phone, set your background to 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. That'll change some thoughts. Right? Put a poster right next to your TV that you've been watching porn on, or your computer screen that you've been, we get real. Where it says, first part, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. But then he says, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. I don't know if you grew up with siblings in the house. I did. I had a sister. And I had friends that thought that she was hot. Oh, that was disgusting. They'd be like trying to look at her, trying to hang out with her, trying to flirt with her. I'm like, you're like 5 years younger than her. What are you doing? And they would come over to my house just to be near my sister. I'm like, you're stupid. She's ugly. She's so horrible. Yeah, no, that's ridiculous, right? That's how we think of our sisters. If you think the other way, there's something. We need to do some rewiring. But what if every time you start thinking lustful thoughts, whether it be an older woman or as a younger woman, that you start thinking of your mom or your sister? No images, right? Like that, I rebuke you, Satan, right? Like, what's the strongholds that are holding you back? What's the situations that are going on in your mind? What are you doing to demolish? How do you set up? That was one of the best ways for me to keep it visually, to look, to have an armband or a wristband and where it says it's something to look at when I begin to lust. Say, no, I've got something better. God's got better plans for this. He's got a better plan for me. I'm gonna go after his plan. Look at her like she's my mom. Look at her like she's my sister. Right? Jake was stressed out as finals approached. What if I fail? Everybody's gonna think I'm gonna be done. I'm not gonna get the score that I need to get into this school or to that school, right? His thoughts would spiral out of control. He would do the homework and stress out about the homework and stay up late going over the books and reading the books. And yes, you need to still do the homework and still study, but it was getting the best of him. So how would he take captive every thought? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So as he would begin to spiral, he would focus on God's truth. Yes, he would study, but studying for 5 or 10 or 20 hours, losing sleep and falling asleep in class the next day, his mindset began to shift, and he was able to approach his studies with a calmer, more focused attitude. Emily, a new mom, not that we have any new moms in here, right? Like the consistent act of balancing, whether it be work or taking care of the baby or running the household or being that perfect mom that everybody on Facebook seems to be, right? Having enough pictures and getting them just to lay right on the stupid little calendar things. Come on, stop hitting the circle that says 1 month old or 2 months old. Why do you keep eating that? No, stop it. I can't get the picture right, right? There's all that pressure of a new mom. Will I ever be good enough? Will I break this little blessing that God is giving me? The pressures, the lack of sleep, feeling overwhelmed. How do you take captive every thought there? Isaiah 40, 29, he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Psalms 46, 1, God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in trouble. Began to remind herself that God has not left her, that he's there to give her the strength, and she began to look to him and cry out to him and ask for help from him. Bob and Mary were in their 60s. Their kids are now grown with families of their own, and at times they felt a bit forgotten, unsure of their role in their adult children. They've gotten busy with their own lives. Bob would think, what good am I now? Mary would think, am I making a difference anymore? But then 2 Corinthians 10, 5. They realized their thoughts weren't helping them anymore. But Proverbs 16, 31 says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Psalms 92, 14 says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. See, by choosing to think on those thoughts, what fruit do I have that's dying on the vine because I'm keeping it to myself because I don't have it to give away to my kids anymore? Who else is there? How could they bear fruit? Well, I don't know about you, but Brother Rex, for me, was about 70 years old. He's probably one of the first like child care workers that I remember at church. Brother Rex would stand up, and I was a good little Baptist boy, and so I sat near the back. Right, and I sat on the back row, and Brother Rex, I mean, at the time I thought he was old enough to live through the Bible stories and talk about Noah like he knew him, But he would tell the stories in engaging, captivating ways that I wanted to know more, that I wanted to listen to more, that I wanted to read my Bible more, that I wanted to find out who Jesus was. He would talk about David and Goliath. He would reenact them. He would have fun with it. At 70 years old, willing to come in to the elementary kid, put up with snot-nosed and all types of things, sing, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir, right? He'd do all those silly little kid songs for me. Realizing that he has fruit that still could be a blessing to someone. See, those connect groups aren't just for those. There's one, I think it's called like family together, right? Like something like that. Like some little family thing. And yeah, it is for those that have families. It might be for those that are trying to be prepared before they have the family. But they also need the wisdom in the room of those that have had a family. The ups and downs of a family. The successes of a family that can speak into that. It's not just for people that have kids. The Freedom Group is not just for those that have broken free from addiction. It's not for just those that have broken free from insecurities or need to break free from it, but those that have already can go there, that can speak life. I said every single room needs a silver fox. Every single group needs. I was telling Bob and Mary just that this morning, but I changed their names not to call them out, right? The marriages, though, in this room need Bob and Mary. The addicts in this room need Bob and Mary. Every connect group needs a Bob and Mary. Sarah was a 25-year-old woman. She often found herself feeling lonely. She watched her friends get into some relationships, get married, start families, and wondered what was wrong with her. Why not her? But 2 Corinthians 10:5, she realized that those thoughts were not the thoughts that God had for her. She understood that he had plans. That they had a plan for their life. And then Psalms 139:14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. She chose to take those thoughts captive. And while Sarah, yes, is still single, she began to embrace the season that she was in and trusting that God had a bigger plan and wasn't going to settle for just anybody. She was going to get that relationship right with God first, be found in his hand, like we talked about last week, how Eve was found in the hand of God, and then he brought her to the man. That he, guys, had a job and knew how to listen to God and brought them together. See, maybe it's not just waging war the way the world wages war, but what if it's jumping into relationships the way, are we following the world's pattern or are we following the pattern of Scripture? Mark had recently lost his mother. The grief was overwhelming. He found himself replaying thoughts like, why did this happen? I can't live without her. I don't know how to go on. His heart ached and his mind was consumed with sadness and doubt. But once again, he heard this crazy, weird, bald pastor talk about 2 Corinthians 10:5. He realized his grief was real. His thoughts about it didn't have to control him. He began to pray, asking God to help him process. In scriptures like Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, praise be to the God of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Not only were those scriptures there to help reinforce who God is, but God also made known the group called River of Hope that meets right here at Innovation every other Monday night, for all ages to deal with their grief and their loss, so they wouldn't have to do that journey alone. Over and over, the stories go on, whether it's David dealing with addiction or even just somebody with their sourdough bread saying, you know what, I kill everything. I'm just going to kill this. Right? The thoughts, our patterns, the wars that go on in our mind can get the best of us. We can begin to speak those things into existence, or we could take captive every thought. We could recognize our minds are overwhelmed by this world, by negative, by unhelpful, untrue thoughts. And we can choose to replace them with God's word. Whether you're a student, a parent, a grandparent, single person, or somebody going through grief or addiction, God's word is there to offer peace and hope, to offer strength in every season of life. And making our thoughts obedient to Christ, we experience his comfort, his guidance in each and every situation. Because most of life's battles are won all up in here, all up in our mind. They're won or lost in our mind. See, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." He thinks, right? Everybody's like, well, how does he think in his heart, right? We think those thoughts first in our mind, and then it travels the 18-inch journey down to our heart, and then it goes into all of us. We wake up, oh, it's Monday, right? That travels to our heart, and then we don't want to get out of bed, right? Oh, it's Monday. Oh, I hate Mondays. Oh, Mondays are the worst. Oh, it's snowing. I hate snow. Oh, it's...
Amen.
And we say, oh, it's going to be a bad day. Oh, there's going to be bad drivers. Guess what? You live in Lafayette, there's always bad drivers. But have you found our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts? Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Oh, it's going to be a Monday. Oh, it's going to snow today. Oh, they're going to be colicky today. Oh, they're not going to sleep all day. Oh, they're not going to take their naps. Oh, I'm not going to get my nap. Like, what if we began to do thought audits? I do it with my finances, like write out where, like, I spent the money, where the money went, if it was important or not, if it was a want, a need, a desire, like there's those types of things where you can do a thought audit. Like, write down what your thoughts are. Like, what thought did you have? Maybe even if you just start with the first thought of the day. Early in the morning, do we rise? Do we give thanks to God for this beautiful day? Do we thank him just that we woke up? And we're like, oh, this hurts, right? Like, is it even if there was just a graph, right? Like this thought audit here, just like, okay, do I wake up? Am I worried? Am I fearful? Am I worried about what this day is going to be? Is it close to the one or the two or the three? Or is it a peaceful thought, right? Are we setting our minds on things above, not on things on the earth? If you set your mind on things on the earth's going to tell you things are out of control, right? And they are. If you set your mind on the mood, on the news, they're going to change your mood, right? That's the first thing that you're putting in you each and every day. It's going to control you. It's going to steer you in the direction that you want to go. And then you're going to be throwing those covers back up over your head. You're like, I don't want to go out. The world's on fire, right? The government's out of control. They can't stop spending money, right? Is it time for that thought on it? Is it time? Are we having more negative thoughts than positive thoughts? Are we having more worldly thoughts? What I find is that you can't have a positive life when you have a negative mind. Any of that comes from what we're putting in, who we're hanging out with, right? Doubly divorced Debbie that sits there and says, oh, you got to leave him. I'm like, he just dropped his underwear on the ground, right? Oh, yeah, you don't have to put up with that. There's a better life. You can be like me. Right? What if we began to demolish the arguments? Demolish the Debbies. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Take captive every thought. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Even a way out. Some of you are like, well, I just need better friends. You do. Your friends suck. And maybe you just need to stop hanging out on their turf and help them hang out on yours. Hey, man, you want to get together? Oh, come with me to this Connect group. Come with me to this church service. Oh, wait a minute. Right? Sometimes our problems are solved just by not being in the bar at Friday night at 11 o'clock. We're not on their turf. We're not trying to play the enemy's games on the enemy's turf. We're like, okay, if you want to come get me, you're going to have to spike that communion juice, devil. Come at me, bro. You're going to have to ferment that bread. If you need help identifying those things, you need accountability partners, you need prayer partners, those connect groups that I was telling you about, they're going to fill up fast. There's 10 of them. Sign up and then tell the other things where to go. Like I said, there's some in the mornings, there's some in the afternoons, there's some in the evenings, there's some all throughout the week. By the way, if you need prayer over something, one of the many ways that we've done that is the connect cards that are around you. And like I said, we pray over those connect cards every Sunday morning. We gather at 8 a.m. There's probably a group of 10, 15, it could be a lot more if you're there, that come together and seek God and ask God on your behalf. We pray over those during the week, and those are great as well. We are wanting, this is my mama over here, right? And so we are wanting prayer partners as well. We're starting a prayer team around here. They're some of the guinea pigs. And some of the other Connect group leaders are going to be up here as guinea pigs. But we're going to have prayer team members there and probably right here and over here and over here, right? Some of you are like, well, I can't step up, I can't volunteer, I can't be a part, I can't be Brother Rex teaching the Bible. Well, can you pray for somebody? Can you meet, just stand and agree and take that request to God? Those are going to be growing as the weeks go by. Or maybe you need to keep it a secret, and you probably don't need to, but you can scan that QR code and type in your prayer request that way too. But if you need prayer over something specific, we know there's a lot that's going on. We don't have to look at a survey from 2024. I stalk you guys on Facebook all the time. I know there's a lot going on. I'm only halfway joking. But the battle for our mind is real. And so is the power of God's truth. Some of you don't know what God's truth is yet over your life. And even just reading God's word builds up some faith in you. You hear about Daniel. You hear about David. You hear about Rahab. You hear about Rebecca. And you're like, okay, there's some hope for me. You hear about John. But also getting involved in connect groups, you begin to hear about Brenda, right? You begin to hear about Ruth. You begin to hear about Don. You begin to hear about Truman. You begin to hear about others' lives where God has showed up, kind of just like he did in Scripture, time and time again. He's a God that has always been one that's made a way where there seems to be no way, that has always stepped up to move a mountain. Now, not many times in our timing, sometimes not as fast as we want him to, but sometimes because he's wanting to teach us a lesson as we walk through it. But he's vowed that he'll walk through it with us. David said that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me." Not because death wasn't happening, not because horrible things weren't happening, but he knew that God was with him. Some of you, it's time to start to, maybe you're going to be learning from borrowed faith. Faith from a friend, faith from the Scriptures. And you're going to be able to say, God, I've seen you move. You've moved a mountain. You moved it for them, would you move it for me? You've made a way where there seems to be no way. And God, I'm believing that you don't want to just do it for them. But you want to do it for me as well. I believe that he does, time and time again. And so if you, maybe today, would you stand with us and we sing of his promises? yet one more time and how they stand. If you need prayer, I know we got one couple that's right up here ready to pray. Today is typically one of those moments where he shows up and says, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is also. And so when we gather in this place, some people are like, I just feel something when I'm here. It's the presence. It's his presence. It's his Holy Spirit coming and dwelling with us, wanting to move and change us. I'm so glad that we have a safe place that we can come to just as we are. Everybody welcome. But I'm so glad that God doesn't leave me that way, right? Like, he's not like, okay, you're strung out on this. You got this problem and this problem. Oh, I'm just going to love you where you're at. Yes, he's going to love us where we're at, but he's going to say, hey, you know what? I've got better plans for you than that lust. I've got better plans for you than that coke. I've got better plans for you than that rum. I've got better plans for you than that relationship. I've got better plans for you. And that same cycle of abuse, that same cycle of hurt. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to follow after his plans for me. And the plans that he knows that he has for me. And so today, can we close off in prayer before we get out of here? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the plans that you have for us, God. As we get connected with those plans, God, you have many things in store. God, you've made a way where there seems to be no way before. And God, we know that you're going to do it again. God, we thank you for this time that we have spent together, learning about the power of our thoughts and how to take them captive for your glory. We recognize that our minds are battlegrounds, and we choose today to fill them with your truth. God, we ask that you help guard our hearts, help guard our minds. God, if there's TV outages or Netflix subscriptions that don't need to be paid, God, let them not be paid so that we can begin to help guard our hearts and minds. Replace the doubt with faith as we dig into your word. Replace the fear with peace as we put it into practice. The negativity with your promises as we learn your word so we can learn your will. God, we ask for your strength as we face the challenges that are ahead. May we walk in the victory that you've already given us through Christ. Help us to trust in your timing. Help us trust in your plan, in your love. We surrender our thoughts to you and ask for your Holy Spirit to transform our thinking and renew our minds each and every day. You know, if you're here today, And you know that you need a renewing of the mind. You hear these lyrics that say, I'm still in your hand, but maybe you've found the fact that you've never placed yourself in God's hands. Because he doesn't just snatch you up and grab you. He is a gentleman and invites you to follow after him. When he was on this earth, when Jesus was on this earth, he went to and fro from fishermen to doctors to tax collectors, and he invited them to follow him. And today I believe he's inviting some of you to follow him as well. And if that's you, and you know that you've been following yourself, you've been following your ways, you've been following this world and what it has for you, and today you're saying, I'm done, 2025 is going to be different, then maybe right now we make this declaration. We ask Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. We declare that we're going to follow after him and him alone. If that's you and you're here today and you've never decided to follow after Jesus, would you pray this prayer with me? Now, I'm not asking just you to pray it alone in Starbucks or to pray it alone at your seat. I'm actually asking all the people around you, especially those that call Innovation Church their home, because we don't do this faith journey alone. And so we ask them to pray this together with you, whether you're praying it for the first time or whether you're returning back to Jesus. And so would you repeat this prayer after me if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and that you rose from the dead. Today I choose to follow you. Make you the Lord of my life. I invite you into my heart and ask you for your help in transforming my mind, transforming my heart, and transforming my life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. It's in your name I pray. Amen. That means so be it. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just prayed that prayer?